Good afternoon. So today we're going to continue talking about virtual memory. First, some other topics. So there's a final exam. It's on the schedule. We have a room for it. You should be there unless you've made other arrangements with me. And since the rotate assignment is done, I have some notes on that. So many of you, looking at some sample of submissions, seem to think you were just doing loop unrolling, which generally would not be enough to actually get the speed up you needed. You wanted to do cache blocking. And what seemed to happen a lot is that you did something you called loop unrolling that looked something like this, where you unroll the outer loop. But that's not loop unrolling, because we're changing the order in which we do things. Previously, after f of I and j, we do the operation for f of I and j plus 1. And that's not what this code does. It changes the order in which we access things. And the only reason it was okay is that because your f, your copying source to dest, was independent for each I and j. Like if that wasn't the case, like if there was some global variable it checked, you might have a problem. So what you were actually doing was cache blocking and unrolling at the same time. And that's why, for those of you who had a solution like that looked like this, it was successful. Because cache blocking was basically what you needed to do in order to get good performance for rotate. Because they were big images and we weren't doing much computation that you could speed up. It was all about how well the cache performed. And if you were actually unrolling the outer loop, it would look like this. You'd have multiple copies of the loop body, which is the inner loop. You probably didn't do this, and if you did, you would probably find out it doesn't help very much. Mainly because, well, the slow thing is the inner loop anyways. You don't act, like you have less comparisons, but it doesn't help you very much. So any questions on rotate? And while we're on the performance assignments, any questions I could answer now about smooth, which, as you know, is due tomorrow? Yes. So there is, should be one in, let's pull up. So I added one, it wasn't there before. Go here, shuffle. So this is an example. So we have two components here. So we have this mask here. And the entries in the mask, either we have 128 or anything with the high bit set. And that says put a zero in our result. So you can see our result, our value 2 here, has a 0 in the spots with the 8. The other values are what byte index into the input do we want? So the 5 means we want the byte with index 5. Indexes start with 0, so that's 60. So that's how 60 gets in the result. And so when you're using this, you're going to use this to cut out the top byte of each of the 16-bit integers. And this is the sort of, it's a little awkward to use. So basically, you're just going to set up the right mask, which will take the bottom byte of each of the 16-bit integers and put them together. And you can fill in any holes you want with the value 128 to indicate put a zero there. And this is a common sort of operation to see on things with vector instructions because, well, you need to move values around in vectors a lot because things aren't in memory the way you want them. And yes, they are pretty annoying to use, even for conceptually simple operations like this. So, other questions on smooth?
That was not what I wanted to do.
So that's there. Okay, so that is there. Yes, that. Okay, that is kind of what I wanted. Okay, great. Okay, so last time I believe we ended, we were looking at something like this. Yeah, sorry.
I had some questions about the memory homework.
We will probably get there.
Okay.
As you can guess by this being suspiciously similar. Okay, so here, so last time we had this sort of example. I forget, what did we end on this example or the exercise afterwards? I guess we'll find out. So we had this sort of example where we're doing a multi-level page table. So our first step was we took our virtual address, we divided it up into various pieces. So we first, we needed to take the first piece that was 3 bits, and it was 3 bits because we have 8-byte pages, 1-byte page table entries, and page tables are 1 page. So this means that we have 8 bytes a page, which means 8 page table entries a page, which means we need 3 bits to know which PTE to use. That's why we took the top 3 bits, because that's how we know which page table entry in the first page, which in this case, since our page table based register is hex 20 and our pages are 8 bytes, this here is the first page table. So we used that and we figured out that from this address, our first part of our virtual page number is 4. And we treat our page table like an array. So we know the base address of the array, we know the index of our elements, we know the size of our array elements, and we find out based on that, that we go to address of hex 24 to get our page table entry, which is 1 byte. Then we decode that, which we know how to do because it says in the problem what's in a page table entry. We've told you that the most significant bits are the three-bit physical page number, then we have a valid bit, and then we have 4 loose bits. So if we look at our value, our most 3 significant bits are this physical page number, and then we have a valid bit. And since this is a multi-level page table, and we haven't used all of our virtual page number yet, we need to go and treat this physical page number as the address of the next page table. The address of the next page table means that since this is a page number, that we're going to need to turn that page number into a byte address to use this table. So we're going to say, well, this is page number 6. So one thing we could do is you could say, this is page 0, this is page 1, this is page 2, this is page 3, this is page 4, 5, and 6. So that's one way we could figure that out. Because we know the pages are 8 bytes, I just count 8 byte chunks until I get to the one with index 6 when I start with index 0. Other thing we could do is we could take our physical page number and multiply it by the page size to convert it to a byte address, or you could realize that's the same as adding 3 zeros since we need 3 bits to know the offset in a page. Either way, we're going to find out that the next page table is here. Assuming that's our next page table. And we'll use the next part of the virtual address, the next part of the virtual page number, which is going to be, again, this is a 3-bit part because we need 3 bits to know which of the 8 page table entries in that page we're referring to. So you take those 3 bits, use that to index into our page table, and we find out that this here is the page table entry for the second level. And just like before, we decode that into a physical page number and a valid bit by just looking at its bit pattern and taking the top three bits as the physical page number and then a valid bit. And since this is the last level and we've used all parts of the virtual page number, we only have the page offset left, which is the last three bits. Why is it three bits? Because we have an 8-byte page. So we've used all the parts. This is the actual place where the program is going to be accessing memory. So we take that address, take that page number, and we combine it with our page offset from the address, and we get the actual address the program is trying to access, and we read memory there, and that's how we get our actual result. So any questions about what went on here? And so we'll go through a couple more of these examples. So our general thing to note is a big part of this is splitting up addresses. So let's talk about why we split the addresses up the way we did. We had 8-byte pages, so we had a 3-bit page offset, and that's always the bottom bits of the address. This means our 9-bit virtual addresses are six-bit virtual page number and a 3-bit page offset, and our 6-bit physical addresses are a 3-bit physical page number, which makes sense because that's the size in the page table entries, and a 3-bit page offset. Because the page offset's always the last three bits. And since we had 8 entry page tables, if we look at the size of our page tables and the size of each page table entry, we find that there's 8 entries in each. We need 3-bit parts of our virtual page number. So that's why we had 2 3-bit parts in our 9-bit address. We need to take that 6-bit virtual page number and divide it into 3-bit chunks to get the right entry in each of the page tables. So here's a different example. Use some time to look through it. And whenever you see something like this, your first step should be, I need to split this up, is the first step. Split that up into our page offset, which we're only going to use at the very end, and our virtual page number, and then you take that virtual page number and divide it into a piece for each level of the page table. Yes. How I got 3 bits for the parts of the virtual page number? So to know how big, much many bits I need to get to look in a page table, I need to know how many entries are there. So first, I need to compute the number of entries, and I've not given that directly. We could have told you, but we didn't. But I do know that each page table is one page. I know that one page is 8 bytes, so each page table is 8 bytes. I know that each page table entry is 1 byte, so 8 bytes means 8 page table entries in this case. And since there are 8 entries, that means I need a 3-bit value to know which of those 8 entries am I going to use. So that's how I got 3-bit parts. So someone wants to tell me what's the first step I should do now that after I've split up the address like this. No volunteers. Okay. So what I'd like to do is we do the first level lookup first. Because we don't know where the second level page table is. We need to find that out. So I'm going to need to figure out, first of all, where is my first level page table? And I have that. Okay. Here. So use a color that's visible. So this here is my first level page table. I know that because the page table base register points to there, and I know that page tables are one page, which is 8 bytes. So 8 bytes starting there, that's my first level page table. And I know the, I numbered these parts wrong. So we have part one and part two, because we take the parts from the most significant bits, because we want things which are together in the address space to share page table entries as much as possible. So we take this first part of the address, and that's going to be which entry number we're using in the first level page table. And that's 3. So I have entry 0, 1, 2, and 3. So this is, so BB here is my first level page table entry. And now that I have BB, I'm going to figure out that this BB splits into 10111011, and this is our physical page number, and this is the valid bit. So the valid bit is 1, so that's good. So we can keep going. If it wasn't 1, we couldn't. And we have a physical page number. So we look at that physical page number, and that's the location of the next page table. And so in this case, our physical page number is 5. So that means I can count 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and this is our next, the page, that those 8 bytes is our second level page table. So this PPN here points to these bytes. And that happens to work out that, not by coincidence, that 0x28 is 101000. And that's because this is a page offset of 0 and the physical page number we have from the entry. So that's our second level page table. And we're going to use the second part, starting from the most significant bit of our virtual page number, to look up something in there. We look up a page table entry there. So here, so that our second part is this, is 7. So we're going to count 7 entries in, which is, we're starting at 0, so our 7th entry is here. So that's our second level page table entry. And just like we did for the first level, we're going to interpret that. So we have F0, it's 1, 1, 1, 1, 0, 0. So we have a valid bit, which happily is 1, so we can keep going. And we have a physical page number, which is 7. And if we do the same thing as before, we find out that this physical page number, that this here, that's the page we're referring to. That's the 7 physical page with number 7. So the address we're accessing is somewhere in there. And to know where that is, we're going to use the last part of our address, which is the page offset. And since we're in the page offset, we've gone through all the virtual page number, this is not going to be another page table entry we're finding. This is going to be the actual thing the program's trying to get. So the address the program is going to access is going to be our physical page number and our page offset put together. And this is address 3 and B in hex, which happens to be right here. So the result of our memory access is going to be hex C. That's what value we're going to send back to the program. And that's the value from address 3B, which is the address we computed by combining the physical page number we found in that second level page table entry and our page offset. Yes. Yes, so we aren't doing anything with half of these page table entries, and the reason why is because I'm just told you that their page table entry format wastes 4 bits. So that's an unusually large number of bits to waste, and a real processor won't do that. But it is typical that a real page table entry will have a non-zero number of bits which aren't used. And the reason for this is, well, our physical page numbers are not sized based on our page table entries typically. They're typically, it's like what the hardware supports. And we want our page table entries to be a power of 2 in size, so it's easy to compute where they are in the page table. And because of that, we're going to end up with not being able to use all the bits. So any questions on this exercise? Okay. So if not, let's try this bit. So let's go through this one. So someone wants to tell me, what's the first step I'm going to do here? Yeah. Okay, yeah, so our first part of our virtual page number is 0, so we go right to our page table base register, and the first entry, that's our page table entry. So we take that, and so that's 88 in hex, which is 100100, and we have a physical page number and a valid bit. And, well, we could look at the physical page number and say, okay, so we're going to go to something, you know, around here and look up the next page table entry, but we don't do that because the valid bit is 0. We're done. What the processor is going to do with this, it doesn't care that there's something in the physical page number. It's because the valid bit's 0, the processor is going to say, hey OS, what do I do? It's going to trigger a page fault. So the result of this is a page fault. If we were going to keep going, you know, if the valid bit was 1, then we'd end up going and getting that page table entry there. But since it's not, we're just going to stop right there and trigger a page fault. And in real processors, it is actually common that the physical page number will contain something that's not just all zeros, because the OS is allowed to use that for whatever it wants, as long as it sets the valid bit to 0. Questions about what I did here? So, yeah. How do I get 0x20? So we take our physical page number, 100, and we add, this is our physical page number, and we know the page table starts at page offset all zeros because it's the beginning of the page. And in hexadecimal, this is, we split here, so we have 20. Other questions? Okay. So how about this example? So we have the same memory, same base address, different address, virtual address. So we have so again we okay. 6, that's it. Okay. Here we have here goes to address 8. But now we have an actually interesting address. Okay, someone want to share their logic for this? Rather than having me explain what happens. Okay, so I've done the splitting here into our three parts. So we have our page offset and the two parts of our virtual page number. And just as before, we're going to use the first part of the virtual page number to look up in our first page table, which is the 8 bytes starting at our page table base register. And we have page number 7, so that's the 7th entry with index 7, which is the last entry in our 8-entry page table, so it's FF. And we take that, this is FF, that's our valid bit, and this is our physical page number. So this means that our next page table is page table with index 7, which is going to be here. This is the, if we just do our counting, first date, we count 1, 2, 0, 1, 2, 3, we get 7 is here. We can also figure that out by taking 7, multiplying it times 8, figuring out what number that is, and that's going to be hex 38. So the physical page referred to in the page number there is here, and that's our second level page table. And we're going to use that second level page table with the next part of our VPN. So we're going to take this second part of our VPN, which is 1. We're going to access the entry with index 1. So the first entry has index 0, and each entry is 1 byte. So this here is our second entry. So we have 0C, which is 0000 and 1100. So that's our second page table entry. And so we have a physical page number and a valid bit. And it's not valid. So this is going to trigger a page fault. The first level had a valid entry, but we went to the second level and nothing was there. Maybe something else in the second level has a valid entry, but that's not what this memory access was, so this is going to trigger a page fault, ask the OS what to do, and hope maybe the OS will fix this page table entry to point to something that actually matters, or maybe it will crash the program. And if we were keeping going, you know, if we flip that valid bit to 1, we'd end up going to the page 0 at the beginning of memory and accessing address 3. But since it's invalid, we're not going to do that. We're going to trigger a page fault. Yes?
Would the one before it also be a page fault? The previous example?
Yeah. That was also a page fault. So we can have page faults from any level of the page table. Everything needs to be valid until you get to the end. So I showed in the last one where we keep going if we flip that valid bit to 1. On the assumption that many of you might have done that by accident, or be curious how that happens. But since it's invalid, we get a page fault. We check each time, each level, is it valid before we let things happen. Yeah.
So we use the physical page number as kind of an offset to get to 38.
To get to 38. So the question is, why are we going to 38? So the physical page number is, so the physical page 7 is 38 to 3F. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And we can tell that because we start with offset all zeros is 38, offset all ones is 3F. And that's where our page table is. Our second level page table is. That's why we need to go there.
Okay.
So there's multiple ways of thinking about this. One thing you can do is you can say pages are 8 bytes. I have the number of a page. I get the byte address out of it by multiplying times 8. Another way you can think of it is page offsets are 3 bits. I have a page number. I get an address at the beginning of that page by adding 3 zeros. Either of those will work. Any other questions on this example or the last couple?
Yeah,
So how about I change some numbers? So here we have 10-bit virtual addresses and 16-byte pages, and I've made my page table entries 2 bytes, even though we're using even less of those 2 bytes than we were using of the 1 byte. Because we have a 2-bit physical page number and a 1 valid bit, and everything else we're just throwing away, just wasting memory. So what do we get in this case? The first thing you should figure out is how to split up the address. And that's going to be different now because I changed the size of our pages. And also of our page tables. Because our page tables are 1 page. That changed. So someone wants to tell me how we split up the address here. So I've shown, so I think we have a 4-bit page offset because we have 16-byte pages and I need 4 bits to know which of those 16 bytes. How about the rest of the address? What's that? How's that gonna work? Yes, exactly. So we have our 16-byte pages, which is our 16, we have 16-byte page tables, because each page table is 1 page, divided by 2-byte page table entries, means we have 8 page table entries per page table. So that means we need, as we said, 3 bits to figure out, you know, log base 2 of 8 to figure out which page table entry we're referring to. So we're going to divide our virtual page number here into 2 3-bit parts. And just as before, our first step is going to be to use our first part of our VPN, and that happens to be 6. And we want to get to the 6th page and page table entry with index 6. And our page table entries are 2 bytes. So this is the one with 0. Then we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. We could also figure that out by knowing that we take 6 times 2 is 12 bytes after of the page table. So we know we need to go 12 bytes because each one is 2 bytes, and we need to advance by 6. Either way, we find out that here, this ACDC here, ACDC BC, that 2-byte value is our page table entry. And we're going to extract our PPN from that. So, and we're going to find out that we have a PPN of 10 and a valid bit of 1 by looking at the byte AC. So PPN of 10, that's 2. That means that our next level access, this is our second level page table here. And we're accessing the entry with index 7. So we take 7 times 2 equals 14 bytes after the beginning, which is going to be here. That's our second level page table entry. And we've run out of parts of our virtual page number. So the physical page number we find here, if we use it, we're using it to actually access memory for the program directly. So we take our physical our page table entry. We have EF. That decodes into a PPN of 1-1 and a valid bit of 1. So that says we're accessing the physical page that is at the very end of memory, this one here. That's our PPN, and we need to use our page offset here, which is 6. So we're taking 6 bytes into here, and that's going to get us DB. And that's what we're going to return to the program when they do their MR move. Assuming I didn't make a mistake there. So, questions on this? Yeah.
Why do you stop multiplying by 2 at that point?
What?
Why do you stop multiplying by 2 at
Because we're accessing the address, the byte the program asked for, not a page table entry anymore.
Okay.
This is not a page table. This is a page of physical memory the program uses directly. Okay. Yeah.
Will you ever make us do more than 2 levels?
Yes. Which is a good segue into our next topic. There is a memory homework. So the way the memory homework works is that you're going to get a random image of a memory that happens to be 256 bytes. And it's going to have page tables with 1 byte entries. And you'll have to tell us, given some virtual address, here's a 2 byte value that will be read or replaced by what we're proposing to do, or there will be a fault. We will give you a random set of problems, and you have 3 attempts for every set. An attempt is any time you submit a wrong non-blank answer. So if you submit one answer and it's right, and everything else you left blank, you can keep going. And if you run out of attempts, we'll show you the answers to the problems we showed you before, and we'll give you an option to get a new set of problems. And you can have 3 attempts on those, and you can keep going until you get everything right. Yes?
Is there any penalization for...
So the question is there any penalty for going through lots of sets of problems? No. The reason we have a limit on the number of attempts for one set is we don't want you just brute forcing everything. And since there are 2 byte values for memory, and you only get 3 tries, that shouldn't be practical. Yeah.
Will it be really evident that we got it right? Will it be fireworks?
So the question is, what will it look like? We can probably just do this directly. So this is the interface looks like. And if you had an answer, it will show you something like this. you can submit some wrong answer. Probably wrong answer, who knows? I haven't actually done that work. And, oh, I apparently, what? Hopefully that actually. So that was actually, I mean, a significant number of them are, so is the other, is this, so we can like put a number, probably wrong answer. And eventually we'll get incorrect. And we have attempt 3 out of 3. So if I like say, oh, I just had an off by one error there, clearly that was what I was doing, I will get, oh, sorry, you have no things, no answers, and you're getting an attempt. So that's what it looks like for things normally. And if you get everything right, you'll get something which looks like this. So you'll know you get everything right. So that's what it looks like. Any questions? Okay. I did a thing where. Okay. I know what I did. Okay. There we go. So any questions? So yeah, and that's due next Tuesday at 11:59 p.m. And the lab for this week just says work on it or exam review. So, should be practical, and reason why I spent, well, more time than I expected based on, but spent a lot, was willing to spend a lot of time going through those examples because we want you to understand how to do that. And you'll have a reason to do it. Okay, so on real systems, so that we have, you know, on a typical current x86-64 system, we have 4-level page tables. So this is a diagram from Intel. It has some confusing things. So Intel has something they call CR3. This is what Intel calls the page table base register. Why do they have such a bad name for it? I don't know. CR3 stands for Control Register 3, which still doesn't make any sense, but that's what they call it. But that's just a page table base register. And we have this big virtual page number here, and Intel just has some names for the parts of it. They call this part the table, the directory pointer part, but that's just virtual page number part 1, 2, 3, 4. And that's how the page table lookup works. And you see that they've indicated here that we have a 9-bit VPN part we're using. So this is a 4K page table with 512 8-byte entries. And that's the organization that 64-bit x86 has chosen. So they have 8-byte page table entries, and they have 512 of them in a table, so each page table is one page. This is a deliberate choice, because it makes it easy for the OS to allocate page tables, because they just have a function, allocate a page of physical memory, and they can use it for everything. And that's why they've chosen to make page tables work that way. So that's what page tables look like on 64-bit x86. So given that, let's say, you know, we have this organization, 4 levels of page tables. Each level has 512 entries, each of which is 8 bytes, takes up a page. So let's say we have a process which has only exactly one page of memory allocated to it. How many pages worth of page tables are we going to have in order to support that? What do we need? So we're going to do better than the sort of hypothetical I gave you if we had a 1-level page table where I need 512 gigabytes. But we're still going to need a good amount of space. So how much space are we going to need? What are we going to need to allocate? This design to support our one single page that's valid. Everything else is going to be invalid. It's going to trigger a page fault. So we need an entry in the first level because one of them better be valid. And that entry needs to point to a second level page table. That second level page table needs to point to a third level page table. Now, third level page table needs to point to a fourth level page table. And that fourth level page table needs to have one valid entry, which is why we need a fourth level page table in the first place, because we have at least one valid entry. If we had none, we could just have an invalid entry in the higher level. So what we're going to end up with is four pages worth of page tables. So our program, which has one page allocated to it, logically is actually going to have five pages in order to support that. Because we need the first page table, the second page table, the third page table, the fourth page table, which finally points to that single page we have allocated, and the actual page that last page table points to, where the program stores its data. So we have five pages allocated in total. Four of them are just overhead to represent the address space so the processor can understand there's one page allocated to this program. And all the page table entries I'm not showing highlighted are going to be just invalid, so we don't care where they point. The processor is just going to give us a page fault. So any questions about this scenario? Okay, so let's try a one step more complicated example. So let's say our program has two pages allocated, one at address 0 and the other at this big address. Like maybe its stack is up there. How much space does it need for page tables then? And we know, we need at least the first level. So first question is, do we need more than one second level? So how would I know if we needed more than one second level? What's the question I need to answer? Yeah?
Are one of the structures just contained in the same page?
Are they in the same?
No, I would presume they're not in the same page.
They're not on the same page, but that doesn't tell me about, that tells me about the last level only, right? But I want to know whether they share a first, an entry in the first level page table.
Right.
So would I look at there?
Well, they're both allocated, so they would both be in the first.
So they both have an entry in the first level page table. The question we need to answer is, can they share the same entry or not? Or do they need separate entries and therefore separate second level page tables? So what we want to look at is, what is the VPN part 1? 0 for this, and if you split up the address here, this is not 0 for the second one, because it's big enough. That's not obvious. You need to figure out how many bits is our VPN, how many bits is the first 9 of that. But it does turn out that this has a non-zero first part of the VPN. And that means that its second level page table is going to be different than the first. Because when we go to the first level, we're going to look at different entries for these two addresses. So that means we end up with something like this. That we have different entries in the first level table, and they all need, each of these pages needs their own second, third, and fourth, because they have different entries in the first level. And so we end up allocating 7 pages of page tables, meaning that our program, which has 2 pages allocated, actually needs 9 pages of memory to run. Questions about this arrangement? Okay, so let's think of a more realistic case. So instead of having just 2 pages, I don't know, most of us don't write programs that can work in 8K of RAM. So let's think of having 200 pages. 100 pages of stack and 100 pages of code and constants. And assume these are both contiguous. So they're both all, we have some address where the stack starts and ends, and there's 100 pages in between. And the same for our coding constants. So how much space do we need for page tables for this? And I note that there are multiple possible answers depending on exactly what we're doing. So just come up with any one scenario we could have. And what we should think about here is if these share VPN part one, then same seconds level table. So if any two pages share the first part of the VPN, it's the same second level table. And if we're lucky, maybe all these pages of stack share VPN part one. And if we're lucky, maybe they also share VPN part two. We could arrange that to happen. So if we're lucky, that might happen. And the same would be true of our coding constants, that we could choose addresses such that the first part of the VPN and the second part of the VPN and even the third part of the VPN is all the same. And that's going to be our best situation. So if we do that, we end up with a situation that looks like this, where we have, they're presumably far apart in memory because I said so here that they're far apart. But presuming they're far apart, this is the sort of scenario we would have. We would have one first level entry, which is all for the code, and all the code pages are together, so there's one last level page table which has 512 entries, and 100 of them point to the pages of our code. And the others are invalid. And they're all together, so we only allocated one last level, one third, and one second level for our code. And we did the same thing for our stack. We couldn't share with the code because it was too far apart in memory, but we only have one here. So here, we have 200 pages logically allocated, and to support that, we have 7 pages of page tables, same as when we had only 2. And this is the sort of scenario that why we like the multi-level page table design, because this is not an uncommon kind of thing for a program to do. And we aren't using actually that much space overall for this type of scenario. Now, this is kind of an optimistic case, because I assumed that this page table entry would work for our first and our, here, this is last of 100 pages. These happen to line up so that they use the same first level page table entry, meaning they share that first part of the VPN. We could get unlucky and have the program ask us to allocate memory such that it's just before the end of the VPN. So end up with a scenario that looks like this, where here this is VPN part 2 equals 1111111, and here it's VPN part 2 equals 00000. So that they just use the boundary. They just have it on a boundary between the end of where one first level page table entry starts being used and another. So they could allocate the pages there. That would be our worst case scenario. This is as bad as it can get, that we have to use a bunch of extra page tables for our code because it's split between two first level page table entries. So we end up having 6 for page tables for our code, 6 for our stack, and 1 first level one. So we end up using 13 to support our 200 pages, which is not great, but still act tolerable. And this is our worst case scenario. We chose really bad addresses. So questions about that scenario? Yes. So this is what we'll deal with a multi-level page table. So how about a different scenario? So previously I said we had 100 pages of code, 100 pages of a stack, they're all together like we typically expect programs to be. Let's say instead my program also uses 200 pages, but I just choose random virtual addresses for each one. Just uniformly at random from all the possible virtual addresses. About how much space would you expect this to require for a page tables? Anyone want to give an estimate? I'm saying about, it's going to be an estimate because it's random. So you can't give an exact number anyways. And so one way of thinking about this is if I choose two addresses at random, what's the chance that they share the first part of the VPN? What's the chance that they share the first and second part of the VPN? That's what you need to think about. And our VPN parts are 9 bits, remember, because we have 512 entries in each page table level. So it's actually going to be pretty low, even if we have hundreds of them. And so what you end up with when you do this, if you actually like do the like actual probability, by which I mean I don't care, I don't remember my probability distributions enough, I just write a simulation and give you a number. You find out that you'll use about on average 165 entries in the first level page table, and you'll need, so you'll have 165 second level page tables, and you'll have about 200, almost always 200, third level page tables. Why do you have 200? Because if you choose two random virtual addresses, they're likely to need a different third level page table. The reason why multi-level paging is efficient is because we don't just choose the addresses in our program at random. But they're related, so we don't actually use many third level page tables. But if we just chose addresses at random, it's horribly inefficient. We actually use more space than we would use, you know, with many other schemes. And using a lot of space for page tables that is, you know, compared to how much space we actually have allocated. And that's going to be true until we're using a lot of our memory. Which, well, we can't use a lot of our virtual memory on a 64-bit system unless you have a machine with like a terabyte of RAM. So questions on this and generally how you reason about how we allocate page tables when we have multi-level paging? So I'll give the preview of what we'll talk about next time. So I told you that real 64-bit x86 has 4 level page tables. So that means that if we think about how the memory management unit works, it seems like we're doing 4 memory accesses, and then another one, every time the program tries to access memory. And we can say, let's be optimistic. Let's assume that our L1 cache works correctly, and each one of these memory accesses hits in the L1 cache. Well, a typical time for an L1 cache access is like 2 to 3 cycles. So let's say it's 2 cycles. So that means we have 8 extra cycles on every memory access. And to put things in perspective, a typical modern processor has like a 15-stage pipeline. So now every memory access takes half of our pipeline stages worth of time, in the best case. So that seems bad, and it is bad. And no one would use a 4-level page table if they couldn't deal with this problem in a better way. And the key observation we're going to use, sorry for mispositioning things on this slide, is that if I'm thinking of a program that's running, typically the actual pages I'm using is going to be a very, very tiny set of the pages I have allocated. Like if I'm writing a method, like this is probably like the portion of memory I'm using. like a teeny tiny part with an actually a very small number of pages that are active. So we're gonna take advantage of this and, you know, make a cache for our page table entries. And that's what we'll talk about next time, is how we organize that cache. But the key thing is that we have really, really, really good temporal locality in our page table entries. And we're gonna take advantage of that. We also have very, very, very few of them that are active, so we can make a really fast cache. Something faster than our typical L1 cache even. Which is good because, you know, we don't want to double the time of our memory access to have this feature, have virtual memory. So, in my remaining time, since I went a lot quicker this time than the morning, we didn't even get to this, I'll take just general Q&A on this topic or related things. Yeah.
Do we get anything for doing a course evaluation?
No, but I would really appreciate it. And I promise that it has impact on lots of things, including people who take this course in future semesters and, you know, and me as continuing being employed as a teacher here. So appreciate it. I did experiment with a bunch of assignments, and I would really like to know if I should do that again or not. And definitely appreciate your feedback. I don't plan on like checking if people are doing course evaluations or trying to do that sort of thing. Just because I don't think that creates the right attitude when people are filling them out. Like, I don't want it to be I just better do this to check off that box. I want people who actually have things to say to write things. Okay. Other Q&A questions? So in that case, see you next time. Good luck on the smooth homework, which hopefully you've all mostly done, because it's due tomorrow. And